Anton, in addition to your impressive background, you also speak French, Ukrainian, Russian, and Turkish. These are among a few of the languages that you are proficient in. Can you please discuss the importance and the benefits associated with speaking multiple languages and how that has helped you in the world of diplomacy?
Well, I think the language is the soul of a nation, so it reflects all the cultural differences and the diversity of a nation, its history, its attitudes. And to me, learning other languages is learning other cultures, learning to look at things from different perspectives. I was fortunate enough to study Turkish in high school back in Ukraine. And I think that it has helped me a great deal to understand better one of Ukraine's neighbors, Turkey, which is a very key and important NATO ally in the region. So that definitely gave me a very different perspective, and I'm very grateful for the opportunity. I think English and French are very important if you live in Canada. Those are the two official languages, and English-speaking countries are very influential in geopolitical sense. We're talking about the United States, Canada, UK, Australia. So every language that you learn is just gives you more understanding of how the world works. You're able to read the news and articles in different languages, therefore understanding the other side, which I think is of crucial importance. So I highly encourage everyone who has an opportunity to study a language. I mean, I wish I could I could practice these languages more often, especially Turkish, because, as you know, if you stop using a language, then eventually you lose, you'll pick it up if you need it, but you lose a great deal of vocabulary. But I would love to learn other languages too. I love Italian language. I think it's one of the most beautiful languages in the world. And it would definitely give me a different perspective, you know, an outlook on foreign policy and geopolitics from an Italian perspective.
Certainly.
And who knows, you know, what that's like. So I encourage everyone to use every single opportunity that they have, whether it's in high school or university or college or because of your work that you need to study a new language. I think it just opens up a whole entire new world of connections, of information, and better understanding of the world.
I think it's so important to practice the language. Like you said, it's one thing to learn a language, but it's another thing to actually go to that country and to exercise the language that you learn. As I mentioned with my background, my Polish background, I just spent the last month in Poland. And growing up, my parents made sure that I knew how to read, write, and speak Polish fluently. And having the opportunity to spend an entire month just speaking Polish every single day, from the second I woke up to the second I went to bed, I was immersed in Poland. I have to say that coming back, it was good to be back, but it felt different. But it really, once you get into it, it's one of those things where practicing and being immersed and being around people who will, you know, be able to communicate with you is fundamental. And a lot of people with different backgrounds, you know, my fiance, for example, speaks Italian, French, Spanish, and English, four languages. And when he learned Italian, Eric McKinley, shout-outs. Eric, when he went to Italy, he spent a few months there just practicing his Italian. And that really helped him master the language. So he can switch back from Italian to English to Spanish to French like that. And he speaks four languages very fluently. So I think that having that ability to learn a new language is fundamental to being able to communicate in the world of diplomacy. If you're traveling and you're meeting with diplomats, obviously understanding their language, their culture, can ultimately only help you. So, Anton, one of the last questions that I want to ask you is, with all of the work that you've done with the International Council in support of Ukraine, where do you see the future of Ukraine 10 years from now?
Well, I hope by that time when we'll have another interview with you, we'll be talking about different reforms that have been successful or have not been successful for one or another reason, and we would not be talking about security at all. By that time, I hope that we'll be able to reintegrate Donbass back in Ukraine. Russia will leave Crimea and will be liberated and again return back to Ukraine. And we'll have a whole different set of issues in Ukraine other than security that we have right now, because as I said before, I think security is a priority for Ukraine right now as much as it is important to implement structural changes in the government and reform the energy sector and so on and so forth. Fundamentally, all comes down to one question: do we feel secure? Do people in Ukraine feel secure? Do we control the entire 100% of our border? Is our country occupied by any foreign army? These are the fundamentals. Without fixing the problem, the security issue, I don't think it's hard to move forward. Although there was a hearing in the Senate, in the U.S. Senate this week, the International Relations Committee, where one of the senators, Senator Murphy, asked future ambassador of the United States to Ukraine, Mary Yovanovitch, whether she thinks that reforming Ukraine is a bigger priority than securing, than ensuring that Ukraine is secure. She didn't have an answer for it. She mm-hmm. said, unfortunately, Ukraine has to balance both. Mm-hmm. They have to ensure that they do structural changes, they implement those reforms that were suggested by the U.S., by the IMF, and by the EU, and at the same time ensure that the Minsk agreement is fully implemented. So we'll see how it plays out, and there are many opinions about that, but so far Ukraine has been able to deliver reforms, which is a very good sign. It's a sign that the government realizes that without building a successful state, without having a successful government, it is impossible to become a fully recognized European partner. But security is of fundamental importance too.
Wonderful. And Anton, for any of our listeners who are interested in connecting with you via LinkedIn, social media, Twitter, email, what is the best way to get a hold of you directly?
Twitter account is great. I'm a very active Twitter account user. It's at @AceStritzen. You can email directly to the International Council in Support of Ukraine at ICSU, info@icsu.info. You can go to our website, all the contact information is there, and that is icsu.info. And we have a Facebook page, which I encourage everyone to like. We share many news, current news from around the world that pertain to Ukraine and the current crisis in Ukraine. So please like, be active, comment on our stuff. We, from time to time, I interview politicians. And
where can people find these interviews as well?
We have a YouTube channel, ICSU YouTube channel, so International Council in Support of Ukraine. And we're very grateful to the Ukrainian program on Omni Forum TV, which is helping us to edit those interviews and to record them. So the page of Forum TV on YouTube is also another way of finding our materials. So please get involved. There are multiple ways in which you can learn about our activities and educate yourself. And if you ever need our help, we're there to help.
Wonderful. Anton, thank you very much for doing this interview and for your time today. It's been a pleasure chatting with you.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Magdalena. My pleasure.